tells you that reckless words pierce like a sword. They can injure, they can wound, they can hurt. And a wound from a sword will be deep and serious, and healing will take a long time. And even when healing's complete, there may well remain a scar. Reckless words have exactly that power to harm. What are reckless words? Well, they are rash words. They are words used without any consideration of the consequences or the hurts that will inevitably follow. They are not thought through. They are not prayed through. They are gushed out, uncontrolled. There's no self-control. And the thing about reckless words or any ungodly words is that once we have spoken them, they cannot be taken back. They're out there. We can't unsay them. And in the case of reckless words, the wound is inflicted like a piercing sword very quickly. So if we've used reckless words and it's on our hearts now, then we need to repent and ask and seek forgiveness. For this is not Jesus. But you will see Jesus in the second part of that verse. The tongue of the wise brings healing. That's Jesus. The last thing Jesus wants to hear in the mouths of his people is those hurting words. But he loves words that bring healing. And healing words are powerful too. The way the body heals itself from injury or disease is quite remarkable. God has set within the human makeup this extraordinary means and mechanisms to heal itself. We're injured, we're losing blood, and there is triggered in our bodies a cascade of steps that end up forming a clot just at the point where you need it. An infection. White cells and antibodies in our immune systems are called into action to meet the threat. And just as amazing as your body is in healing, so are wise words in healing. They bring healing to the hurting. So what are wise words that bring healing? Just turn a few pages to chapter 16 and verse 24. Pleasant words or gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. The power of gracious words is that they too go deep. Down to the soul, down to the bones, the core of our beings. And hence they can heal serious injury. Bone infections are hard to treat. Bone is difficult for our antibiotics to penetrate. So the doses have to be high, the courses have to be long, sometimes months. And gracious words are not some kind of quick fix. But like those antibiotics, they will need to be ongoing, but they will prevail. So what words can we use which will be sweet to the soul, healing to the bones? Well, firstly, words from the heart, but few. Words from the heart, but few. Because a bombardment of advice is not going to feel gracious or pleasant. But a few words, which are caring and loving, comforting and encouraging, they can taste sweet and they can heal. And few is good because that improves your chances of listening. Jesus met a funeral procession at the town called Nain in Luke chapter 7. The dead was a young man, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. She's deeply hurting. What words can be said here? We're told that when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. And he said, "Don't cry." Nothing else. Two words. Few words indeed, but coming from his compassionate heart. His heart went out to her. Pleasant, gracious words that bring healing. First of all, they are from the heart, not few. Secondly, they are words from the Word. That is, words from the Bible, God's Word. Because there's no words in all the books of the world that will taste sweeter and will heal better than God's Word. If the words of Scripture are on our lips, we shall be the tongue of the wise that brings healing. The one we're helping may well have a favourite psalm or other scripture that they'd love to have read to them. Or we might know of a passage of scripture that would just seem to fit right for their situation. To read scripture is to let the Word of God do its powerful work, the power of good. It'll be pleasant, it'll be gracious words. So that's our first proverb on the power of words. And very eloquently, Proverbs 12:18 tells us the power of words for bad, reckless words pierce like a sword, and the power of words for good, the tongue of the wise brings healing. So we're going to move on now to two specific scenarios in Proverbs which tell of the power of words. And the first scenario is that of anxiety or worry. So the second point is this: kind words are powerful in the face of anxiety. So if we go back to Proverbs 12 where we were, and verse 25, kind words are powerful in the face of anxiety. Verse 25, chapter 12. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. This is different from the injured, hurting individual we've just thought about. Here is someone who is anxious and worrying. And to be fair, we all know that emotion quite well. We're very familiar with it. But for some, it is a real burden. It really weighs them down. It's not nice. It spoils their days. It interferes with their sleep. And there is much in our lives and in the world that would cause us to worry. So what are the wise words for this scenario? Well, Proverbs says, choose to use kind words. Kind words are the wisdom of God in this situation. So what does Proverbs mean by kind words? Well, think about worry for a moment. And the antidote to worry is to trust in the Lord. There's no circumstance in our lives about which we worry that is too big for him, nor too small. And he is totally trustworthy. We can trust our family situations to him, our children, our parents, our siblings, and all other relationships. We can trust him in the health scares. the failing health of loved ones. We can trust him in the financial hardships, the cost of living crisis, job insecurity. And when we worry about the security of our possessions and thieves and robbers and things, we can trust God with the security of our homes. Go global. We can trust God for Russia and Ukraine. In fact, anything that's troubling your hearts, we can cast our cares upon him. Why bother to say all that? Because the kind word to the anxious will therefore be a word that will help someone trust in the Lord. The kind word is going to help them trust in the Lord. At the heart of the meaning of kind or kindness is the doing of positive good for somebody else. Kind builds them up according to their need, and their need is to trust. So to the anxious and the worrying, kind words have the power to cheer up by building trust in the Lord. So what are the kind words that build up? It is absolutely fine to say to someone, "Don't worry." Because Jesus uses those words. But wisdom would go even beyond "don't worry" to engender this trust in God. Let's see Jesus do this in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life's more than food, the body's more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds." Can we hear the kindness that builds trust there? "Know this," says Jesus to us, "God values us greatly. God cares about you greatly. He cares for the birds. He cares for the flowers that clothe the grass of the field. Are you not much more valuable? Does he not care much more for you?" And in verse 30 of that Luke 12, "Know this too," says Jesus, "that our Father knows our needs. He knows our needs and he promises to meet them. He is not oblivious to our circumstances." So trust him. And in verse 32, Jesus says, "Know this too, that our Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom, the gift of citizenship in his kingdom, now and forever, through Jesus." That puts all anxiety and worry in its perspective. Trust him. So for the cheering of an anxious heart, the best thing for it to hear is this: God values you. God fully knows your needs. And God's already given you his kingdom. You can trust God for everything. And a weight is lifted. To troubled disciples who were fearing for a future when Jesus would be gone, Jesus said this: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I will come back, take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." All our worries and all our concerns are future. They are what might happen, but it might not happen. But as for the eternal future, the ultimate kind and cheering word of Jesus is his promise that he has all our futures covered. Perfectly. Trust in me, he says. So kind words are powerful to cheer in the face of anxiety. Choose to use kind words in that situation. The words which say, don't worry, we can trust in Jesus. And then the third proverb. This is Proverbs 15 and verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Gentle words are powerful in the face of anger. Gentle words are powerful in the face of anger. Proverbs 15, 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, gentle words here are words which are spoken gently. Gentle words are opposite to harsh words. So the power of words is not just what we say, but how we say it. It's all about the tone of voice. So the very same words can be spoken gently or harshly, but the result will be totally different. At busy times, the outpatient pharmacy of Queen's Medical Centre, where I used to work, would be full of patients. They've handed in their clinic prescription, and they're waiting for their medicines. And at those busy times, the waiting time inevitably went like, and there's nothing like being kept waiting for breeding anger. Especially if the individual judges that their wait is unreasonable. You can imagine the scenario. Someone's patient snaps. And they vent their anger at the counter. It's only a bottle of eye drops. I've been here 40 minutes. I've missed my bus, I've missed my meeting, what's the problem? Wrath. Enter Proverbs 15, verse 1a. A gentle answer turns away wrath. The patient needs an explanation, but key to de-escalating that situation is the tone of voice. Because if the explanation is given as a quiet, respectful, friendly, and caring in its tone, I'd say 9 times out of 10, the wrath is turned away. The wind is taken from the sails. The situation returns to calm. Unfortunately, our front of house receptionist back then, the one who's receiving the prescriptions from patients, sometimes practice chapter 15, verse 1b. A harsh word stirs up anger. Now, she has our sympathies because naturally, front of house, she's the target for all these exasperated patients. But if her tipping point was reached, and someone got stroppy with her, she would get stroppy back. And before you know it, voices are raised, complaints are threatened, and the anger that was already present in that patient has been stirred up very, very effectively in front of everybody else. It's not wisdom. So in whatever situation where anger presents, we must heed the wisdom of Proverbs 15:1a. Use gentle tone to de-escalate. Because beware, a harsh tone will escalate. There is power in the tone. Proverbs wisdom takes us to the perfectly wise Lord Jesus. How did he speak when faced with anger situations? Luke chapter 10. Jesus is at the home of Martha and Mary. Luke 10, verse 38. Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me!" Exclamation mark. Let me read it with a tone the Lord would have used. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." It would never have been this. "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Those words are exactly the same. But the difference is in the tone. Jesus' gentle answer turned away Martha's wrath. How do I know? Well, very abruptly, that scenario finishes. That's it. It's where it stops. Martha has nothing more to say. Do notice that gentle here is not weak or meek. Jesus doesn't meekly agree with Martha, bowing to her pressure. This isn't weakness. Jesus isn't agreeing with Martha here. He's actually quite assertive. He challenges and corrects Martha. "Mary's got it right. Serving a meal's not so important as listening to me." But he's so gentle in how he says it, in his tone. And therein lies the power that turns away wrath. It's not what you say, but how you say it with gentle words. So words are sure powerful, aren't they? Both for good and for bad. Uncontrolled, reckless words can hurt. Gracious words can heal. Kind words can cheer a weighed down heart with anxiety. And words spoken gently can turn away anger. Spoken harshly, they can stir it up. Now we might be sat here thinking, how on earth can I become more like Jesus in the words I choose to use? Because we are all far from his perfection. To use words only powerfully for good. But whatever our character, the news is good. Whatever our character, we can reject reckless, unkind, harsh words, and choose to use gracious, kind, and words spoken gently. It's not about whether we're naturally bold or naturally timid, naturally extrovert or naturally introvert, naturally direct or naturally hesitant. Galatians chapter 5 is spoken to all Christians, regardless of their character. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. We're told as Christians who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit in verse 25 to keep in step with the Spirit. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit brings a harvest of fruit into our lives, which you'll see in verse 22 includes self-control, kindness, and gentleness. So the question becomes, how do I keep in step with the Spirit? What does that mean? You may have watched the Remembrance Thanksgiving service on a Saturday every year, which happens in the Albert Hall, and all that marching. I find it fascinating, the marching. It's also perfectly in time and in line. There's two things going on. They have a leader who gives instruction, who sets the pace. And when he turns at the end, they all turn and follow him back. But secondly, there's a responsibility on all those who are marching to keep in step with that leader. It's very impressive, but it doesn't just happen. Plenty of rehearsing, plenty of practice. For the Christian, the Holy Spirit within us is like that leader who leads us and instructs us in his holy ways, in his good desires for our conduct and our speech. And it's for us to actively take his lead in our daily living or marching. In practice, how do we do that? Well, where will we engage with our leader's words? Where will we discover his mind for the way that we live and the way that we speak? Well, the Holy Spirit is the amazing author of this book, the Bible. We read in the Bible that the human authors were all moved by the Spirit. This is God's word, God's Spirit's word speaking. It's God's wisdom. So in here, we are going to find all that we need to keep in step with him. His desires will be there. So the more we read, the more we listen to God's word and the Spirit who wrote the word, the more our words will be powerfully used for good. They will be controlled. They will be kind. And they will be gently spoken Holy Spirit words. So choosing to use words that are powerful for good and rejecting those powerful but for bad is not about your character. It's about our walk with the Lord. And if we keep in step with the desires of the Spirit by his word, our words will be healing to the hurting, kind to the anxious, and gentle with the angry. Our words will become more like Jesus, the perfectly wise one, in all his words. Amen. Let's sing together a hymn which in verse 1 becomes a prayer, really, along the lines that we've been thinking. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and all I say. 642, may the mind of Christ, my Saviour. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, your wisdom to us for our words, which we perfectly see in Jesus. We know the power of words. We've used and experienced them, both for good and bad. So help us, Lord, to submit ourselves to your word, your Spirit's inspired word, that the fruit of the Spirit, kindness, gentleness, and self-control, will be characteristic of our words. Amen.